God says that we are to honor our fathers and our mothers. And so Fellowship of the Rockies, we just want to take a minute to do something here on Father's Day. All right, I want to say happy Father's Day to every dad who's here. Can I have all the dads stand up real quick? Just say happy Father's Day. Good job, guys. You can have a seat. And, I want to say happy Father's Day to the guys who are here. And I know for the vast majority, it's just an amazing day. It's a fun day. It's a day we do guy things. We play with our kids. Our kids give us cards and, take us out to eat or whatever. It's a fun day. And God does tell us to honor our fathers. And God tells us as dads that we are to rejoice in our children. And sometimes that doesn't always go perfectly. Sometimes there's challenges. So I just want to say, if you're a dad here today and, the relationship that you have with your child is not all that that God wants it to be and you want it to be, I want God wants to bring restoration, hope, and healing in that relationship. If you're here today and your child on the other end of a strained relationship, I pray that God would work in your heart to work towards appropriate healing and restoration, and because God calls us to honor our fathers in the way that's appropriate, and we want to celebrate it. At Fellowship of the Rockies, we just want to take a second and just say, it's cool to be a guy. It really is a good thing to be a guy. And on Mother's Day, all the ladies got chocolate roses. And thanks to Patsy's Candy. And today, thanks to Costco, all the guys are going to get Dad's root beer. How about that? And so if you're a guy here, we have them iced down and ready to drink on your way out. It is legal to drink and drive Dad's root beer in the state of Colorado. Anyway, I'm gonna sit down this morning because how many of you ever been on a cruise before? Raise your hand. Okay, so Christy and I went on a cruise last week and we were on the cruise for 7 days. And for some reason, the whole world is rocking just a little bit for Stuart. I don't know. It wasn't bad when I was on the boat. But today, I'm like, oh, my goodness. Something weird happened to Colorado Springs and gravity while I was gone. So we're going to continue in our series called The Sage of Summer. And it's our look at it's sort of a play on the wisdom that comes from the book of Proverbs that helps us address important areas of our life. Last week, Willie ended the message with a profound key truth. It was this: God clearly wants to give us wisdom, and it's up to us to attain it. And so, the wisdom that God has for us today is wisdom on how to be a man or how to man up. This summer we're going to peer into some issues that are it really hit us where we live, issues that deal with things like anger and money and truth, just to name a few. God's topic for us today is men. Now, I actually think it's getting harder and harder to be a guy today, to know what it means to be a man, how to deal appropriately with subjects like relationships and being a husband and a father. It's just becoming more and more challenging. For the most part, I think our education system is amazing and it does a wonderful job, but it seems to me that like a lot of our education with younger boys is trying to get the boys to stop acting like boys and start acting like girls. I just don't get that, you know? Let them be boys. And, you know, you have these, as men, we have these extreme role models. You have the Rambo, you know, let's kill, or is kill or be killed, never show your emotions. And then you have this other extreme that says, hey, man, you need to let your guard down and go drink white wine at the tea shop with your buddies. And it's like, it's confusing. And sometimes, sometimes I think as men, we just want to send out an SOS. We just say, God, help. Help me figure this manhood thing out. What does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to man up? Well, our series, Key Truth, is there is prophet in Proverbs, and God, through a few of his writings in the book of Proverbs, is gonna tell us how we can be the men that God wants us to be in the areas of relationships, in the area of being a husband if we're married, and a father if we have children. So let's first talk about the first point in our outlines, to man up in our relationships. You know, one of the most common struggles that I think I've discovered in men of the 25 years I've been doing this church pastor thing is men really struggle to have and maintain good relationships with other men. I mean, they want those relationships, they need those relationships, and getting them and maintaining them is challenging. You know, I really believe that the reason why men spend thousands of dollars on recreational and sporting activities is because it just gives them an excuse to hang out with other guys. I mean, why would guys, think about this, why would guys go to a sports bar to watch a game when they have a better television, food, and drinks at home? It's because they're drawn to the association that comes from being with other men. There's a very famous Bible verse, is Proverbs 27:17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I can't see how anybody could be more clear as to the benefit of being in a relationship with another man, with another believer, Christian man, that will help make you better as you help make them better. You know, guys, it's an accepted truth that our relationships will make or break us, right? If you have positive relationships, if you are in healthy relationships with other men who are going in a similar direction, who have God at their core of their essence, you're going to be a better follower of Christ, and your life is going to be better in general. Generally, life is just going to be better. When your relationship, when you're in relationships with other men who are not following Christ, who are not seeking good, right things, and your life is not going to be better. Life is going to be worse. My contention is, if we are going to experience everything that God wants us to experience, then we have to be around other men. Men are, in being in relationship with other men, are essential for to experience everything that God wants us to experience. Another profound verse that talks about this is Ecclesiastes 4:12. It says, though one may be overpowered, two could defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. It's tough not to see the benefit from being in relationship. And God here talks about how when we are in relationships with that third strand, Christ as part of that relationship, it creates a bond, it creates a strength that we will not experience otherwise. Guys, when you're hanging with another guy who's hanging with Jesus, your lives are going to be better than if just two dudes are sitting around drinking beer. God says there's a strength and there's a power in that threefold relationship. What I know is people are longing for friendships. They're longing for significant relationships. And they're trying to connect. And one of the ways that our culture is connecting right now extremely well is through digital and social media. And the unintended consequence of the last 10, 12 years of social media is we have hundreds, maybe even thousands of connections, but no true relationships. And what people are starving for is that face-to-face, connected relationship. And what people in the church are struggling for is that connected relationship that has Christ as a part of it. Proverbs 27:6 says, "The wounds of a friend can be trusted, but the enemy multiplies kisses." This verse is telling us, guys, we're better off having a friend who will be lovingly honest in our lives as opposed to having an enemy who just tells us, good job, way to go all the time. Now, there's nothing wrong with encouragement. Hey, by the way, you guys look really good today. You were real lively. There was great energy. Thanks for coming. I mean, that was good. That didn't hurt you hearing that. I know that. But sometimes we need more than just encouragement. We need honesty. I'll admit something, and I know I'm not the only one in the room that's done it, but about 10 or 12 or 15 years ago, I've lost track. I did something. In fact, Ivan and I did something. Ivan plays the guitar right here. Ivan, did you know were you in first service too? Did you know I threw you under the bus then? Okay, so I have a friend who, I was my college roommate. He was a missionary in Israel, and he heard that there was a great money-making opportunity to invest in Iraqi dinar. And the gist of it was this. Before the war with Iraq, the dinar was one dinar had greater value than the dollar. It was like 6 or 8 to 1. I can't remember what it was. But then after the war, the thing cratered. It was 10,000 dinar to one or something ridiculous. I mean, it was just crazy. George, did you buy some dinar?
No, actually, my son-in-law brought me back a big stack of it from Iraq.
Well, okay. Well, Ivan and I actually bought some. We spent, I don't know, $500 combined or something, and we were going to make it. And there was this guy, and we knew this guy, and every week he would tell us, this is the week it's going to hit. The dinar is going to come back. And remember that, Ivan? Every week we heard it was this week and this week. And finally my buddy Craig, he said, hey, man, can I have your 10,000 dinar? I said, what are you going to do with it? He said, well, I'm going to take my 10,000 dinar and I'm going to give it to my buddy who's a Christian in Iraqi so he can buy a gallon of milk when I go back to Israel. I mean, okay, so there's a point to this. Guys, if you bought Iraqi dinar, what you really need from Stuart McWilliams, your friend, is to let you know, hey, that's probably not going to do a whole lot for you. And if you're counting on that for retirement, you better go get a real financial advisor, right? You don't need me telling you, hey, this is the day you're going to get rich off of your dinar. Guys, a friend will be honest with you. in a loving and a kind way. So we need friends who are going to, we need friendships as men, relationships as men with other men who have Christ as the center and who will hold us accountable in the areas we need accountability. Second point is we need to man up in our marriages. Proverbs 18:22 says, "He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord." This small but powerful truth talks about something that is very important for men. If God has given you a good wife, God has given you a wife and she loves you and she cares for you, you have found a really good thing. The best example in the whole world about the realization of the good that comes from a wife is the first wife, Eve. You remember the story of Adam and Eve? God created the universe, the heavens and the earth, and he created everything in the earth, and he created man. And for an undisclosed period of time, man was the only human on the planet. And Adam had everything else. He had perfect face-to-face communication with God. He had a job, a calling that was amazing. He was productive. All of his garden enterprises were great. I mean, work was good. He had a beautiful environment. Everything was peaceful. Nothing was out of balance. But he was missing something, and he knew he was missing something. And God says, it's not good for Adam to be alone. And so God did the first surgical procedure. He knocked Adam out, and he took a rib from the side of Adam, and he created Eve. And when Adam woke up from that procedure and he took a look at Eve, he said, "Yes! That's what I'm talking about, God. Now you've got it right." I mean, it's amazing and how excited he was and how passionate he was. Guys, so many times the same thing happens to us in our relationships here on earth. We meet that individual and we say, "Yes, this is good. This is great. Things are wonderful. They're awesome." And, and very easily, the luster of the good begins to be tarnished. A little bit of nagging here, a little bit of forget to take out the garbage there, a little bit of, "Hey, your hair looks really nice today." All those things that were part of the relationship when the person was good have gone away. They faded away, right? And now the good has been lost. We have lost sight of the good that God gave us in this thing we call a wife. Let's face it. Marriage no longer holds the importance in our society that it once held. Marriage today, if there is even marriage, it's considered more of a relationship that's mutually beneficial and helping each other out. And if that doesn't work out, then you just move on to the next one. Men, God calls you and I to a totally different standard as husbands. The Apostle Paul records some very, very in-your-face words to us as men in Ephesians 5, when he says, "Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Guys, that means that when we made that covenant with our wives, our selfish life was to end, and we were to begin a selfless life in relationship to that person. It's no secret that good marriages are generally the outcome of selfless love that people have towards one another. And when we get that right, good generally comes from that. Let me talk to you, talk to single guys for just a second. You might not be married, and you might be seeking marriage. I mean, you might want that relationship, either for the first time or again in your life. Let me just tell you, concentrate on being the man that God wants you to be, so that when he brings the woman that he wants you to have, your marriage will be in a whole lot better place than if you aren't the man God wants you to be, okay? The last area we want to talk about this morning is to man up as a dad. And if God has given you children, God has done a wonderful thing in and through you, and he wants to do it with you. And I want to talk to you a little bit about parenting today. I was working on this a little bit, and didn't have it. So I said, well, I'm going to go this morning. I'm going to go grab all the books I have on parenting, because I wanted to make a point. And I started looking at my shelves, and literally I have 20, 30 books on parenting issues. And so I couldn't bring them all over here. And this was the point. And I had a point I wanted to make from this. I have read those books, and they really vary quite a bit in what they say about parenting. Some of them are very principle-driven. Some are Nazis, like you do this all the time. You never deviate from this. You always do that. And as I read those things and I implemented things from different books at different times, there was truth and there was good in all of them, but yet not one of them contained all of the truth and all of the good. This is the point, men. There is no silver bullet when it comes to being a dad. There is no silver bullet when it comes to being a dad. And if I could just say one thing, the thing that is most important, if you are a dad and you are married, the most important thing is to be on the same page as your spouse. Guys, if you want to spank your children or send them to the room, if you think it's best to take the car keys or the cell phone away, if you want to keep your children from their friends or make them clean the toilet, who knows? But if you're together on that action, it's going to be better. The chances of you getting it right if you're together is a whole lot better than the guaranteed failure that's going to come when your kids can divide and conquer, because kids divide and conquer better than anyone else on the planet. I mean, and they did it naturally. Like at 2 years old, they started it. They started with French fries at the dinner table. They figured out which one let me have them, which one didn't, right? I mean, it's just, they get that. When the kids were younger, often one of them, or sometimes even both of them, would come in and they'd say, can we have, right? There was a question. And if I was smart, which a lot of times I wasn't smart, I would ask, well, what did your mom say? And generally, the answer would be, mom told us to come ask you, right? And again, if I was smart, which I wasn't always smart, I would say, well, you know what? I'm gonna go talk to your mom, and we're gonna make this decision together. Guys, there's no silver bullet. Get together if you are married and you have your children living in your home with you, get on the same page. Now, let me talk to you single dads for just a second. A couple things for single dads. If you are a dad and you are not living with your child's mother, never talk bad about their mother and never cover up a clear bad. Let me say that. Again, if you're a single parent, never talk bad about the child's mother and never cover up a clear bad. If there's something going on in the individual that is clearly wrong, everybody knows it's wrong. Don't make excuses. Don't cover it up. Don't try to hide it. Don't make it okay just because their mother's doing it. But don't make it the point of conversation either. Does that make sense? That was a real question. Does that make sense? It's very, very important. And the second part of being a single dad is show up as often as practical to events and activities when mom is there as well. As much as you can, be at the same event with your children together. And then for both single dad and married dads, guys, live out your faith. Live out your faith. Make your faith part of your life at home. Guys, we know dads are important. Over and over again, we learn this. In fact, we discover so often at times a problem with an adult stems from a bad relationship with the father. Guys, dads need to live out their faith to help mitigate those problems. Guys, we believe that God created the family, and when the family functions as God wants it to function, then generally life is better for everyone involved in that environment. And I say generally because we all know that two kids could grow up in this exact same house and one kid does one thing, another kid does something totally different, right? Because everybody makes their own decisions. And sometimes it takes a long time, even decades, for the benefits of appropriate Christian parenting to come to fruition in the life of the child. So don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. And then let me talk to you about when we mess up. And I said when we mess up. Because messing up as a dad is not an if thing, it's a when thing. When we mess up, say we're sorry. And say we're sorry without an excuse attached to the sorry. when you don't make it to in time for to pick them up for practice, and they've been sitting on the curb for half an hour, don't say you're sorry and then blame it on your boss or a client or traffic or whatever. Just say you're sorry. And then the next time, don't do it again. Wait at least two more times before you do it again, right? Sorry, and then do the right thing. It's so important. Guys, being a dad has some great joys. In fact, just hearing the word dad, right? Vast majority of the time, 99% of the time, 99.9% of the time, when either one of my kids say dad, I smile. There's that 0.1%, and so there's a cringe factor because there's something else attached to it. But just even getting the Father's Day card today, it's a joy. But there's also a huge responsibility that can create paralyzing fear in our lives. Hey guys, generally speaking, as a father, we are to provide an environment for physical, emotional, social, spiritual, and mental well-being. It's a big responsibility to provide that environment. But yet, we know when that happens, there are good things that come from it. Let me tell you, Proverbs 14:26, powerful verse. Whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children it will be a refuge. Now, last week we learned that fearing the Lord is just respect, reverence, appreciation, right? It's not fright, fear. It's, hey, this is God we're talking about. And so what we have a proper reverence when men have a proper reverence and respect for God. God is in the appropriate place. It provides that secure, safe environment for God to work to bring about those amazing things in the lives of our children. And last thing before we wrap up here. Men, do not buy into the lie, I'm going to let my kids figure out their faith on their own. It's a lie from the pit of hell. The enemy wants your child to never experience the good of God, to know nothing about God. But God gives children fathers so that won't happen. God gives them you to stand in the way, to show them what's right, to show them how to know God, how to love him. Okay, so wrap up three things. First of all, guys, get into some good trusted relationships. If you don't know how to make that happen, come talk to me and I'll help you with that. I mean, I'll help connect you with some guys, right? Second, if you're a husband, be the selfless husband that God wants you to be. And if you're in a relationship that's not doesn't seem to be reciprocating that response or that action, you even need the relationship with other guys who could encourage you more, right? And third, if you're a dad, be a dad. Let's let your child know that there is nothing more important to them besides God in your life. I saw this picture decades ago. Let me show it to you. It's JFK and JFK Jr., the leader of the free world, at the Resolute desk in the Oval Office, and yet his son knows he's welcome with his father. Dads, your sons, your daughters, your children need to know that there is nothing in your life that's more important. Now, there's other things that are as important, but there's nothing here on earth more important to them in the appropriate time and place than they are. You know what else is cool about that picture? A is a great image for us in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. God is sitting in the throne room of heaven, directing the affairs of the universe, and he wants you to know there's always room for you there as well. Let me pray. God, thank you for the encouragement that you give us as men, is towards relationships, towards marriage, towards parenting. God, we want to be those dads. We want to be those husbands. We want to be those men for other men that you want us to be. And I pray that we would heed your wisdom and apply it to our lives. And it's in Jesus' name I ask this. Amen.